The mass shooting in Orlando, Florida, by an alleged Islamic State sympathizer has shocked the United States and the world. It remains to be seen how the markets might respond to this. The global economy is already in a period of renewed political uncertainty, which is already rattling investors. In Australia, we're not only entering the final weeks of an increasingly tight federal election race, but in less than 2 weeks' time, Britons will vote on whether to remain in or quit the European Union, with Brexit polls now showing a swing in favour of the Leave vote. And then there's a growing risk of a Trump presidential victory in the United States later this year. Our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell, takes us with her on the week ahead in business and finance. Hello, Cheryl.
Hi, Fran.
Cheryl, the Reserve Bank Governor, Glenn Stevens, last week referred to these as looming event risks. Are central banks now starting to get edgy about the period ahead? That's quite a set of factors coming up,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And they are, I would say, getting quite edgy. I mean, in the next week or so, we've got four of the world's top central banks meeting, the most notable being the US Federal Reserve, which kicks off its two-day meeting from tomorrow. And none are expected to make any changes to monetary policy or their stimulus programs, despite the fragile states of their economy and also of the global economy, for that matter. I mean, that's how cautious I think the central banks are right now. They're just wanting to tread water and see how things play out. Now, there's some good reasons for the Fed to keep rates where they are this week, when you'll remember we've been talking all this year that another rate hike was expected, certainly around now. Last month, we had a very soft employment report out of the US, so that's a good reason to keep rates pretty much steady. But another reason for caution, and they've already signaled that, is this Brexit vote on June 23. It seems that central banks are now waking up to the growing risk, I guess, that the UK might indeed leave the EU. The Independent newspaper actually published a poll on Friday night, and as you said, it showed a sharp swing towards a vote for Britain to exit the EU. It put the Leave camp 10 points ahead of the Remain side.
That's now, incredible.
I know. The British pound fell about 1.2% on that news against the US dollar, and British and European share markets also fell, well, Europe fell, you know, more than 2%. Now, follow-up polls on Saturday put the race as much tighter than that, but the possibility that Britons could indeed leave the EU is now, look, a real risk for global investors.
It's really gathered ahead of steam too. I wonder if that's, you know, Boris Johnson and people like that getting on board so fully on this. But to take us through it, why would it matter to global markets if Britain does vote to leave the EU on the 23rd of June?
Well, in fact, in one sense, that, you know, it really shouldn't matter at all. Yes, it could hit the UK economy really hard. The UK Treasury has been out with some sobering figures over the last few weeks. It's estimated that the British economy could shrink by 6% of GDP by 2030 if it did leave the EU, and that would leave every single British household worse off, they say.
And it's like Turkey's voting for Christmas then.
That's right. And certainly would cause major disruption to the, you know, the scores of international financial institutions, the corporations who are headquartered in London, like Australia's BHP, Billiton and Rio Tinto. And they're there because, you know, partly because of the membership of Britain in the EU and their access to Europe. But Brexit itself would have little direct impact on the global economy. I mean, the UK, after all, represents about 4% of global GDP. Australia's trade with Britain, too, is nothing like it used to be in the old days, back in the day. It's not even now in our top 10 of global trading partners anymore. But the big concern is not so much what Brexit would mean for the UK, but what the UK's departure would mean for the 28-member European Union bloc. In other words, it's this fear again of contagion. If Britain can leave, you know, who might be next? Might it be Spain? Would all those massive euro loans that have been extended to Spain then revert to Spanish pesos? Might Brexit trigger another plunge in the euro, another flight of capital into the US again, you know, prompting a kind of rerun of that whole Grexit-style financial crisis we saw running over the last few years? So you can see why the world's central banks are becoming a little bit nervous.
Yeah, then. It's certainly a disruption to the European experiment, as they call it, though Britain, of course, never went with currency. So it was always kept itself as separate as it could. But I just don't believe that David Cameron, when he called this referendum on the 23rd of June, thought that this would be the outcome, or well, that the polls will be as they are right now.
Well, you know, Cameron, I was just over there. Cameron is sticking to the economic message, but of course, the Trump card, dare I say, of the Leave campaign, it's really an anti-immigration,
yes,
an anti-globalisation campaign, and you know, that is just resonating, unfortunately, in Europe at the moment.
Well, speaking of Trump, how nervous are the markets about the prospect of a Donald Trump presidency in the United States?
Look, I don't think global financial markets have really focused on that particular event risk as yet. That's likely to happen after the Republican and then the Democratic presidential conventions in July. I mean, that's when the real fight between the two presumptive presidential candidates, of course, Hillary Clinton for the Democrats now and Donald Trump for the Republicans, that's when the fight will really begin. Now, at this stage, the polling shows Hillary Clinton leading Donald Trump by 11 points. I think it's about 45% to 46% to 35%, something like that.
But polls right now are meaningless, really.
Oh, and we, you know, we know how those leads can disappear over long election campaigns. Unfortunately, we might see this terrible Florida shooting now also intrude into the campaign. I mean, Trump may use it to...
Well, he already has put out the tweet. Thank you for congratulating me on being right on Islamic militancy.
Yeah, he'll ratchet up his anti-Muslim rhetoric. Hillary Clinton, though, in turn might use it to back Obama's call this morning for greater regulation of assault weapons. And maybe that call will get some traction this time. You know, you've got to hope. At the moment, though, US share markets are pretty sanguine about the November presidential poll. Wall Street, remember, has been mostly rising all year. It's now about only 1.5% away from its record high. But if Trump does start to chip away at Clinton's lead, there will be some fallout. I mean, there'll be much fallout, I would think, given his protectionist trade policies, pledge to re-regulate parts of the US economy. And there are direct risks here for Australia, too, of a Trump presidency. If Trump wages a trade and currency war against China, then China could retaliate by dumping some or even all of their US Treasury bonds. I mean, the Chinese, after all, are significant lenders to the US economy. That, in turn, could see the US dollar plummet. And the knock-on effect of that for us would be a rise in our currency, which, of course, is the last thing we need as we try to, you know, engineer our own transformation away from mining to other exports. So, you know, that is a bigger risk, another big risk looming as well.
The whole trade argument between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump is interesting because Hillary Clinton has been coming out against the TPP as well, even as President Obama is one of the leading advocates for the TPP.
Yes, so, the rhetoric right now, you'd have to say that the TPP looks kind of, you know, dead or was certainly resting, you know, at the moment.
Yeah, and, you know, Australia invested heavily in that and it's been one of the big pitches of the government that it's going to have a big effect on Australian trade. Talking about the dollar, you know, you said that could force up the dollar, but some analysts remain very pessimistic about the Australian dollar, don't they, Cheryl? One's even forecasting it could fall to 40 US cents in the coming year. How likely is that? It's been going the opposite direction of late.
Yeah, I mean, it's
at 74
it's or struggling to actually fall below into the 60 cent range, which is where the RBA wants it to be. Look, you'd have to say that's pretty unlikely. I mean, 40 US cents, as you say, it's a significant distance from its current level. This morning it's at 73.7 US cents. But the call does come from a respected analyst. It's Vimal Gore. He's the head of fixed income at BT Investment Management. His concern is the twin events here in Australia, falling interest rates, which he reckons could fall to below 1%, the cash rate, and our rising foreign debt. He sees that dragging down our currency to unprecedented levels, despite our relatively healthy economic growth levels at the moment. He believes that we're simply sending a lot of that growth overseas through higher imports and we're borrowing more to pay for it. Basically, the argument Australia is living beyond its means with a day of reckoning coming through a sharply lower currency. As I say, his view is very much an outlier. I mean, most economists see the dollar falling towards maybe 60 US cents in that scenario, not 40 US cents. So I wouldn't actually put off your overseas trip just yet, but maybe you should hedge your bets and, buy some overseas currencies right now if you're planning a trip.
74 cents.
Yeah.
The Australian share market is closed today for the Queen's birthday holiday. Happy birthday to the Queen. It's a holiday in New South Wales and many other states. But it's still a big week for economic news coming up.
Yes, as I said, the big event this week is tomorrow's meeting of the US Federal Reserve. As I said, no rate rise is expected. But Janet Yellen, the chair, will be holding a press conference after this particular meeting. So we'll learn something about her current thinking on the US economy. economy and maybe even how the US views the risk of Brexit. As I mentioned, concerns about global growth and a possible Brexit saw share markets in Europe and Britain fall last week. US, Japanese and even Australian government bonds, on the other hand, have rallied. We've got yields now on bonds at record lows, and that's because investors are once again seeking a safer port in the storm, so in what they see as the coming storm, at least. In Australia too, a lot is happening on the economic front. We'll get the latest business and consumer confidence surveys this week, as well as the May Labor Report on Thursday. That could see unemployment tick up a bit despite decent jobs creation of late. So we could see the unemployment rate sort of move up to 5.8%. We'll see.
All of that playing into an election campaign.
Yes, exactly.
Cheryl Bagwell, our business editor.